Thank you for listening to this podcast from TheUnheardNerd.com. If you like what you hear, please consider liking, sharing, reviewing, and subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcast feed of choice, and help us to keep creating and improving our content. Thank you. Taking a longer break before the sequel than the Blade Runner series of films, we are back with Betamax and Laserdisc, the TV and movie podcast from TheUnheardNerd.com. My name is Will, and as always, with me is John. Hello, John.
Hello, Will. Great intro.
Great, thank you. Right off the top of the head, that. I didn't prepare for the show at all, as always. And in fact, we took a little break there from June to what are we in that November. Our promise to do a show every month failed abysmally. So we're back with season four of the show. We had a planned summer break, and it's been a busy one. God, it's been a busy one for me. I don't know. I imagine you've been busy too.
Yes, keeping children entertained.
Yeah, I've been to Canada.
You have, yes,
and I've been to Paris. And I'm skint, but I've had a lovely time.
A surprise to Canada.
Yeah, it was a lovely summer holiday, and a real sort of one on the bucket list. And we fell in love with it, so possibly looking at a move there. We'll see what happens. Yeah, but that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about films. And this is the all brand new Betamax and Laserdisc. We plan to bring you a show every month for the next 3 months, and then have a long break, and then bring you another show for 3 months, and then have another long break, and never really build up much of a followership because of that. But we enjoy doing it, so fuck it.
Oh dear.
John, shall we list every movie we've seen since the last time we spoke in June?
That might be a couple of podcasts in itself.
Quite right. Should we just do what we've watched recently then?
Yeah, why not? Pick out some choice ones.
Okay. Do you want to start?
Okay. I decided to watch the second Turtles film, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows.
Yeah, I'm really disappointed in you. I tried watching that. I tried watching that on the plane home from Canada, which obviously I was a bit depressed about leaving Canada anyway, but I don't know why I lumped for that film. And I literally got 15 minutes in, if that, and I turned it off. I couldn't watch it. I just didn't like it at all from the first 15 minutes.
I found it more entertaining than the original.
Okay.
The first live action one, the previous one a few years beforehand.
Yeah.
I like the fact they sort of delve into the cartoon more, and you had Bebop and Rocksteady, and Krang makes an appearance at the end. And
Casey Jones as well. Casey Jones is in this.
Oh, yes. Casey Jones makes an appearance.
Arrow.
Was that the guy who plays Arrow?
Stephen Amell, is it not?
Oh, yeah, I guess that is. I'm not a regular watcher of that program. I never clicked. It's quite entertaining. It's better than the first one, but it's not a brilliant film in its own right. But I did enjoy it a lot more than the first one. I actually laughed out loud a few times as well, which surprised me.
I mean, I presume I started watching the second one. Were they watching a basketball match from up in the middle of the court at the top?
Is that that's the second one. Yeah.
I gave up on that and I watched Money Monster instead with George Clooney, which was actually very entertaining.
Oh, okay.
I quite enjoyed that, yeah. I watched, I finally got around to watching Captain America Civil War on the plane on the way to Canada.
Okay.
And I didn't enjoy that much either, really.
Really?
Yeah, I think I'm a little bit over some of the Marvel films. Weird thing to say, but I think I actually prefer some of the DC films. And not necessarily on plot line or writing, but just in terms of, like, it's a cinematic experience. The Marvel films for me are starting to turn more and more into TV movies, just in the way they look and the way they feel.
Yeah,
they're churning them out so quickly, and it's so much of a conveyor belt of production that I really feel that the quality is sort of suffering as a result. But people are too into it to notice, and I think at some point there'll be a backlash. Controversial start to the show.
No.
I know. I said it. I went there and said it.
good point though, because I mean they are sort of squeezing out at least 2 to 3 films a year.
Yeah, I mean really. I went to watch Doctor Strange, and I know a lot of people have been raving about it, and it's like kind of mind bending and all that. But I found it really suffered from just lack of gravitas. and really looked a little bit cheap. I mean, there are amazing scenes in it when the city's bending and moving around, and it's a little bit Inception, if anyone's seen the end of Inception, where everything's folding on it, in on itself. It's a little bit like that, and it would have really fucked my head up if I'd watched it in 3D. again, reiterating my I don't care for 3D. That would have really messed my head up watching that film in 3D. I mean, it was a good enough film. It was enjoyable. But, it did feel like another one off the conveyor belt. It's like, that one's done. Move on to the next one.
Same.
Yeah, controversial. I'm sure a lot of people disagree. Unfortunately, not a lot of people listen to this show to disagree. So the people that are listening, thanks. We really appreciate you.
thank you, guys. You small group of guys.
Guys, yeah, mostly guys. I wonder if we've got...
Do we break double digits? Do we get that many listeners?
We do. I mean, you know, maybe not always triple figures. But no, we're always around the 80 to 120 mark. So it's a kind of broad, like some people must get confused and push play by accident. And then, like, I don't know, lose their fingers in a serious accident and can't turn it off again. I presume that's what's happening to a lot of people. I've not read about it in the news, but maybe. It's unreported. It's a tragedy. Widespread amongst the world, people of the world. okay, getting off topic again already. My turn. I watched Maze Runner recently.
Okay.
The first one, because there have been two, and they're based on novels, very much in the same sort of ilk as the Hunger Games, which I actually really enjoy. I didn't think I would, but once I got into them, I really enjoyed those. And what's the other one? The slightly naff one.
Divergence.
Those films. We watched a few of those, and I didn't really care for them. But Maze Runner actually is a pretty decent film, if you forgive it for certain areas. It's a bunch of kids that they wake up sort of on a lift. They find themselves in this sort of glade, which is completely walled, like huge walls you can't climb over. It's just all males to start with. I don't know, maybe 20 to 30 of them. They live there. At certain points in the day, the walls open up to create a doorway. And once a day, maze runners, go running through the maze to try and map it and find a way out.
I see.
And then there's one kid that comes up, and he's a little bit different. And yeah, they have their memories wiped. They can't remember anything except that their name comes back to them after a few days. And they really just live as a community, and it's all nicely balanced until he turns up and he upsets the apple cart and decides that they're going to plan an escape. And actually quite a decent film. I really enjoyed it. And the only thing that came to mind while I was watching it was, this would be better if it was Aliens versus Maze Runner, because the high walls in the maze and sort of the creatures that inhabit the areas would really lend itself, in terms of making it dark and eerie, to the Aliens, like H.R. Geiger's Aliens. That would be amazing. I wish they'd remake it like that, but I doubt they will.
Let's go retro and low budget. I watched a film called Moon 44.
Moon 44. It rings a bell, but I don't think I've seen it.
This is a German-made film, made in German money, made in Germany, although it's filmed in English to try and appeal to a bigger audience. And it's directed by Roland Emmerich.
Oh, right. Okay. Him of Independence Day.
Him of Independence Day, Independence Day Resurgence, 2012. Mr. Disaster Porn, I've nicknamed him.
Okay.
All of his films tend to feature huge CGI spectacles of the world being destroyed in some fashion.
Mm.
This is set in the future, way into the future. I think it's like 2039, I think. Mm. Galactic corporations have spread out into the universe, and we're basically mining other planets for their minerals and stuff. And they get shipped back to Earth in these huge, great shuttles.
Mm.
And this, I presume it's another company, I think they're called Pilots or something, or I don't know, it's obviously a play on the word pirates without saying the word pirate. It's a bit odd. But they're only mentioned in name, and they're not really talked about in any other way. Just the fact that this company is stealing our shuttles. There you go. Anyway, the supply shuttle's been going missing. All the other planets have been taken over. The only planet this corporation's got left is Moon 44. So they send a load of prisoners get sent up there to fly the defense. They're like helicopters, basically.
Mm.
And you can't fly very far up into the atmosphere because of the high wind. So basically, all the flying takes place in these huge canyons on the planet. And it's so murky and misty that you have to have a navigator back at the base who tells you how to fly, which kind of makes you start thinking, well, what was the point of a pilot in the first place? Why not fly them remotely with drones? Because that's what the enemy do. All their ships are attacked with robots on board.
Oh, wow.
It's got Malcolm McDowell as the bad guy. Typecast.
Yeah, much.
the hero smokes continuously. I suppose it's the 90s, you can get away with it, but he seems to be always smoking. And the only other thing at the other point is it also stars a young Dean Devlin. He's the guy who teamed up with Roland to write Independence Day and Independence Day Resurgence and Stargate. And so they became writing partners. He's not very big on acting. So there's a young Dean Devlin in this. At the other point I think I mentioned is it's got a huge glaring continuity error during the final fight scene, which really I had to rewind it for film to make sure I actually saw what happened. Malcolm McDowell sticks a bomb on the wall, takes this woman hostage, runs into a lift. So the hero takes the bomb off the wall, runs into the lift with Malcolm McDowell and the hostage. The shot of the bomb in his hands, it's a bit of a fight. The bomb drops on the floor. There's a shot of the bomb in the hero's hands. And then there's a shot of the hero picking the bomb off the floor. I'm like, what? Hang on.
Wow.
That's in your hands a second. How did that get through?
Sounds like a colossal fuck-up.
The only reason I watched it was his Roland Emmerich film, one of his first, I believe. So I thought, yeah, I'll give that a go. It's all right.
Okay. Interestingly, Stargate, you mentioned. I hear that they've ditched plans for a Stargate reboot because their original team or producer or writer or whoever, somebody thinks that they just can't do it justice. And I tend to agree. I really enjoyed Stargate. I think I went and see that film, I think, 3 times at the cinema when it came out. I was a really big fan, and I've just added it to my Netflix to watch list because it's on there at the moment. I'm going to watch it again.
All right.
Yeah, I never got into the TV series, but I loved the film. I really liked it. But,
yeah, I love the original film. It's a great film.
I kind of like slow-paced films, and that is fairly slow-paced for a lot of the time. But I'll come back to that later with something more recent that I've watched.
So I should say, apparently, it's the fact that Independence Day Resurgence didn't do that well at the box office as Fox were hoping means that they reckon that's the main reason why they've gone, your Stargate reboot, we're not so interested now.
Yeah. Well, let's give it a reason. We don't think they can do it justice. We got invited to that an Independence Day Resurgence sort of survival day down in Portsmouth, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
I couldn't make it because, job. You can make it because job or life job. Job. They do these things on weekdays and it's really not convenient. It's like Thursday. It's a really bad day for me to do these things. But it would have been going down to Portsmouth to what they called the UK's Area 51, which I think they've made up. I don't think that exists.
I don't think so.
And it would have been learning how to survive using household items, an alien invasion, and then you play out the character of Hemsworth's brother from the film. Is it Liam Hemsworth? I don't know which one it is.
Is it Liam?
Luke, John, Fred, Norman. I can't remember which Hemsworth brother, but one of them. It would have been fun, but not a great day to do it anyway, regardless. So I watched, based off of watching the documentary about their old Fantastic Four that never made it to screen that you wrote about on the website. I got around to watching the most recent reboot of the Fantastic Four. Actually wasn't as bad as I was expecting. I know, right. I gave you a little bit of grief for actually bothering to even watch it. But I watched it. I actually didn't think it was that bad. I thought it was okay. I just put that out there.
For me, I really did like the gritty, realistic startup of the film. I just think when it hit that point where they become superheroes, the ending does feel sort of rushed out by committee standard superhero film.
Oh yeah, I mean absolutely. There's a lot about it that doesn't work, but
you can tell something's been done that's not, the way it was planned.
Compare it to a Spider-Man movie. There's not an awful lot different, really, in terms of quality and the way it's executed. But again, controversial. I've gone there. And it's my opinion.
Twice in one podcast.
I know. My God, this is the controversial show. Controversially, you watched I, Frankenstein.
Yes, I'd seen the trailer at some point. I thought that looks a bit underworldy, and it was just it seems like the same people that did Underworld went, let's do a film with Frankenstein and gargoyles and monsters, and that's why Frankenstein.
See, I'm always dubious when you write about a film on the website and the official Twitter account follows you. And that happened really quickly with I Frankenstein, and they retweeted what we wrote, and yeah, they were really pally, and I was like, that makes me think this is a shit film. And they're just trying to make friends anywhere they can, because it's not like we're a big site or anything. But again, it's on my it's on my list to watch at some point. I was intrigued by the idea, but I haven't actually got round to seeing it yet. I don't think I've watched too much else in terms of films lately. I've got halfway through High Rise, which I think you have watched.
Oh yes,
and it's really fucked up.
It is.
Not at all what I was expecting. It's I forgot his name, Tom Hiddleston, isn't it, in the
That's
lead
it, yeah.
And it's sort of like based in or set in the 70s, but it,
yeah, High Rise block in the 70s, and it's like, it just goes, well, how else could it, just goes mental, doesn't it?
It becomes
its own, not ecosystem, I'm trying to think of the right word, becomes its own community.
Yeah, and
the poor people live at the bottom and the rich people live at the top.
Yeah,
class war.
Class system, yeah. I mean, like, I think as I described it before, it's a little bit like Snowpiercer in a tower block.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, obviously not the same.
And also, the other weird thing is, despite this class war that's going on, every day most people still go out to their jobs, do their normal jobs,
yeah,
and they come home and go back to being in this class war.
Yeah, some of them living really decadently, some of them, you know, very poor, and then the Tom Hiddleston character somewhere in the middle, and he's sort of invited to the higher class things but doesn't fit in. He hangs out with the lower class people who I mean accept him but still sort of think of him as being higher class, and it's a very difficult, almost a difficult watch. And like I say, we only got halfway through, and the reason for that is not because we weren't enjoying or didn't want to finish. It's just that we needed to go to bed. We started watching another film, and I can't remember what it's called off the top of my head, so bear with me while I Google and talk.
Fair enough,
it's the first film that stars Billy Joe Armstrong from the lead singer of Green Day. And
okay, keep Googling.
I'm trying to type and talk, it's difficult. There we go, Billy Joe Armstrong film. I can't remember what it's called, but it's called, there we go, Ordinary World. And it's basically, I mean, I don't know how they came up with this plot. It's basically an ex-punk singer whose band are on extended hiatus, i.e. they've broken up, but he can't come to terms with that.
Right.
He's married to someone he met on the scene, but she's become hugely successful in her career. So he kind of looks after the kids in the morning, gets them off to work, and he goes to work at his brother's hardware store. And, I mean, acting-wise, he's not the worst. He doesn't exactly exude charisma, and the plot is terrible. I mean, the dialogue is awful, very clunky, very, you know, basic. So we actually paid to rent this film because my wife knows I'm a Green Day fan. And,
right.
And we got 10, 15 minutes in and we're like, we can't watch this. It's awful. It's just really bad. So we skipped it. It came out this year. So it's one of those that's gone really quickly to digital home release because it had a very limited cinematic release. And it's just not that good. And as much as I love Billy Joe Armstrong, and he's quite endearing in the film, it's just awful. Very awful film. So that's why we turned that off, and then we looked for another film. We found High Rise on Amazon, and we started watching that, but couldn't get all the way through. So no spoilers, I've got to finish that.
Okay.
Okay, and you've got at least one more that you've watched.
Well, that's going to stick on. Jobs? Which one do you want to hear about? Prisoners or Jobs?
Prisoners or Jobs.
Actually, I'll do both, because Jobs I can do really quickly. It was fairly interesting. There you go.
Fairly interesting.
I mean, I've already watched the Ashton Kutcher one they did. They knocked out really quickly just after Jobs passed away.
Yeah.
And I think I've seen a documentary about his life already beforehand. So watching this version, why it was, the production values were obviously higher. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it, no.
It's just the whole film is just literally sort of three big scenes: the launch of the Macintosh computer, the launch of the iPod, I think, and the launch of something else, Apple. So, and there's just all that sort of like a lot of history is sort of compounded into these three scenes, especially stuff regarding his daughter. But basically, because I've seen documentary about it, everything in the film I already sort of knew. So, although well, Michael Fassbender is Jobs, so I thought was he's a brilliant actor. That guy,
he is. Yeah, he's
and a, it's and Seth Rogen is isn't there Wozniak?
Yeah, Steve Wozniak. Is it Steve Wozniak?
I can't remember his name. I can't forget it's Wozniak. It's nice seeing Seth Rogen do something serious for change as well, rather than his sort of stoner laughing all the time. Other stuff he does.
Nice. Okay, Prisoner.
Prisoners. That's Hugh Jackman and Jake Gyllenhaal. Is that what I say?
Gyllenhaal. The bloke from Donnie Darko.
Yes. Hugh Jackman, their family, they go visit some family friends, and the two girls go to ask play outside. They go, yeah, go play outside, but they go missing. So they report it to the police. They find a guy who they thinks has done it, but he's severely disabled. So they can't, I think they don't have enough proof to charge him. The girls are still missing. And as the guy's taken out the police station by his parents, Hugh Jackman sort of walks past him. I can't remember the exact words, but he makes some kind of off-cough comment suggestion really quietly that only Hugh Jackman can hear to suggest that he took the girls.
Mm.
And so that just, Hugh's like, what did you say? What did you say? And they're like, keep apart, keep apart. It's all over with. The law can't do anything. And basically, Hugh Jackman goes off on one, kidnaps the guy and tortures him to try and find out where his daughters have gone.
Wow, sounds dark.
Meanwhile, Jake Glidden, guy from Donnie Darko, he's a detective who's trying to find out what's happened as well. So you've got these two separate plot lines that obviously interweave at different places. It's a brilliant film. It really is.
Oh, cool. So mentioning Hugh Jackman, we've seen, moving on slightly from what we've watched now, we've actually watched these technically, yeah, for pedants out there. Trailers. We've seen the first trailer for Logan.
Mm-hmm.
Logan, which doesn't star your son, surprisingly, but does star Hugh Jackman as Logan, aka Wolverine, aka Weapon X.
An older Wolverine whose powers seem to be fading.
Yeah, on the decline. Yeah. But the introduction of X-23, who's a clone, the only, I think, successful clone of Weapon X. I've read the comic book. I found it in a charity shop. It's called Target X. Fantastic book, awesome artwork. I really, if anybody wants to find out a little bit about X-23 before watching that film, definitely pick that up. That's the only reason I mentioned it, because I really like that comic book and I wanted people to read it. Target X.
Target X, noted. I'll look out for that.
It's really good. It's really good artwork. okay, so that's films and stuff. What about TV and stuff? Have you watched anything interesting lately, John?
Have I watched anything interesting lately? I don't think I've started. I did have plans to try out the new Lethal Weapon and MacGyver.
Okay.
But I've decided I can't be bothered.
There is literally so much on TV right now that I'm just choosing very carefully what I watch. To the point where I've abandoned a lot of the shows that I was watching. I will return to them, but you know, things like Gotham, I still haven't finished season 2. Flash, yeah, I'm way, way behind. I did get to the end of Daredevil season 2.
All right, I've watched
the first episode of Luke Cage, which looks like it's going to be really good, but I haven't got around to watching anything else. I watched Stranger Things, which I know you haven't yet, but absolutely fantastic. I mean, gripping. We watched it in Canada because we went with the kids' family, you know, vacation.
Yeah,
to use the colloquial terms, and. But the kids go to bed a lot earlier than we do, so we were sort of confined to the apartment after a certain time. You know, we kept them up as late as we could, but you know, they're young. So we binged a lot of TV and stuff while we were in Canada, and we had Canadian Netflix as well. It was slightly different, so it had Snowpiercer on there. I didn't get around to watching it, which is really annoying. But
which still doesn't have a UK home video release. I checked last night,
and they're talking about making a TV series of it.
Exactly,
ties in very nicely to what we're talking about. But Stranger Things, oh man, it's good. Oh, it's so good. I can't wait for you to watch that so we can discuss it properly. It is dark, it is quite scary, but it's very 80s and it's very nerdy, and Oh, yeah, I can't wait for you to watch it. It's amazing. They will fuck up the second season, I'm sure. Because I think it's one of those series that you should just leave alone. It's so good as it is. Just leave it.
Yeah.
But they're going to drag it out and they're going to, you know, make it into more. So, yeah, hopefully I'm wrong, but
I remember when it first hit Netflix, people were raving about it. It's, as you said, it's 80s. Is it Spielberg-y? Or is that, I think?
Yeah, it is. Well, yeah, it does have a feel. I mean, it's basically these guys that, they were, it's set in 1984, though people question, you know, some of the stuff that's in it. You know, that car wasn't available till 86. That phone wasn't out until 85. Yeah.
That's all people ever fucking do. I think they live for that sometimes.
Yeah, but you know, if you're not clued up, you're not noticed. So I think it's set in 84. These guys that made it weren't born until 84, and it's just like they're recreating something they never lived through, and it's weird. But it is quite Spielberg-y. It's very small town America, and it's weird. It's creepy. But it's really good, and I love the camaraderie in it, of the friendships, and one of the lead characters is called Will, so it must be good.
Perfect.
But Stranger Things, I'm sure everybody's watched it by now except you.
Except me.
So there's not much point saying much more about it than that.
Okay.
What's coming? There's going to be, I wrote about it actually this week on the website, Why the Last Man sounds like an interesting concept. It's another Vertigo Comics title that's being converted. We've already seen Constantine, which was great. Bring it back, you fuckers.
No chance, unfortunately.
Preacher, which was weird, but gets renewed for a second season.
Fucking loved Preacher.
It was great, but I didn't know what the fuck was going on most of the time.
Did you like, without spoilers, did you like the sort of ending? I can't really say.
I don't know if I really remember, is the honest answer. It's awful to say.
Oh, okay.
I do remember enjoying it. I can't remember specifics.
Okay, if you don't know the ending to the film, don't listen to the next few seconds. Series. The big reset switch, the whole town blows up.
Oh, yes. Which actually makes it, sort of brings it back to the comic book roots, I think, which was more of a road trip concept.
It is. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you can switch back on now. people have actually just switched off. That's it.
They've gone.
Fuck it. I just needed an excuse. Yeah. There's probably an earthworm outside that I need to pet. but yeah, no, I did enjoy it. But it is strange. It is a strange show, and I'm surprised that I know they're on different networks. That was sort of AMC in America, and it was on Amazon Prime here. Constantine was at NBC over there, and that was on Amazon here as well.
That's Prime here as well, yeah.
But I'm really surprised that Preacher got renewed very easily, and Constantine got cancelled, because Constantine, in my opinion, was a more superior show. Personally, just my opinion. I put it out there. This is controversial, and why the Last Man seems like an interesting concept. It's good that they're looking at comic books that aren't so much mainstream but have a really interesting concept behind them, and this is basically everything with a Y chromosome on Earth. Every mammal with a Y chromosome on Earth gets wiped out, be it a sperm, be it an embryo, be it a man or animal, except the one man, Yorick, that's, you know, kind of part of the Y thing, and the Y chromosome, and his monkey, whose name I've forgotten, but Ampersand, it will come to me. Ampersand. So he's the last man on Earth. All the women still exist, and he becomes a very hunted man. Some want to kill him, some want to use him for their own uses, and just seems like a really interesting concept. So I'll be interested to see how that one turns out. As we alluded to, Snowpiercer TV program could be in the works, and sounds like it would be quite interesting. Haven't seen the film, don't really know.
I was literally just thinking about that right now, looking at the news story. without giving away too much about the film, basically it stars Captain America, Chris Evans.
Yep.
He gets from the back of the train to the front of the train and finds out the truth of what's going on. Now
there's no driver, it's the DLR.
It's just people sitting there in the front going, what, we're enjoying the ride. Now that's like at least 2 hours, I think, a 2-hour film. How do you extend that into the city? Do you want to make the train longer and then only feature one carriage per episode?
I guess you have a lot of yeah, a lot of politics.
I'm thinking another way of doing it, which is they were like flashbacks. Every week, meet someone new on the train and find out what their life was before they got on the train. But then again, that sounds like Lost then, doesn't it? What do they do before they got the island?
Maybe. It's a prequel. Yeah, I don't know is the honest answer, but you know, yeah. Well, I'm sure they can make it work. I mean, other TV stuff, Westworld, have you watched any of that?
Yes, I think a bit slow. We're only about four in. The missus is thinking of giving up on it. She's going, "Oh, it's too slow." But I really want to watch the rest of it.
Okay, I haven't seen any of it yet, but I did love the Yul Brynner film, the original film, which I've watched multiple times, and I really enjoyed that. I know it's not the same. A lot more sex, I imagine. I don't know why. I'm imagining. I may be wrong.
There is more. It's HBO. There are more boobies.
Yeah, it's got to be. It's like it's to keep people interested while Game of Thrones isn't on. It's pretty much another TV series that's coming out, which is what the last one that springs to mind. Really, it was supposed to be a film from the from the Marvel you know, production line. Inhumans is now going to be a series. Yes. So, interesting move there that they've cancelled the film and gone for a TV series on that one.
And it's been shown in IMAX theatres as well, isn't it?
The first two episodes are going to be cut together to be a feature-length episode, and that will be shown in IMAX, so, strange one. I'm hoping we get an invite to go and check that out.
That'd be nice.
Put that out there. Marvel, but I didn't mean anything I said about your films. They're all fantastic. Love Disney. Disney's my favourite. actually, one last thing. It's not really nerdy stuff and doesn't really fit into this show, but did you watch Grand Tour?
No, because it's come out while I'm away, so I'll watch it when I get back home.
With the missus, okay.
With the missus, so probably next few days.
It's like Top Gear really never went away. It does prove, I won't spoil it for you, but it does prove that the presenters made the show.
Excellent.
That's all I'll say. Okay, moving on, and because we've already done about 30 minutes of this show, give or take, let's talk a little bit about current movies, because I've been going to the cinema.
You have?
And not just for kids' films for a change. It is a change. Two films I've actually been to see recently. We had wanted to go and see A Street Cat Named Bob. Obviously, because Cat, Bob... Street Cat, but my missus wanted to take the kids, and then I read the warnings, like contains drug use, swearing, you know, scenes of overdose, and so, okay, maybe not. We bought them the book. It's quite a famous story here in Britain. It's like there was this guy who was homeless. I mean, I think he had sort of, he wasn't completely homeless, wasn't living on the streets. He had a small flat, but essentially had nothing going for him, didn't have a job or anything. He would go out and busk. He was addicted to drugs. And then this cat found him, and this is sounding familiar because we recently got adopted by a cat as well. And this cat found him and basically turned his life around, helped him to recover. He had to focus, had something to look after, and he turned his life around, and he ended up writing a book about his experiences, which became a bestseller. And as a result, you know, his fortunes have turned around, and he's doing a lot of help, a lot of work to help people who are in the situation that he was in, like living rough or busking or hard, you know, on hardship, trying to get off drugs, etc., etc. And this cat is a celebrity. So my wife read the adult book, and we bought the kids' version of the book for the kids as well, because we used to have a cat called Bobs, plural. And so, yeah, mad about cats in this house. We've just, like I say, adopted another one. We've got three now, which you'll probably hear at some point in the show. So we did want to go and watch the film, but then we chose to go and see Arrival instead. And what a choice. That is a 5 out of 5 star film for me. Ooh. Unbelievable. Very slow burn. Now, I mentioned earlier that I like slow films. So like Stargate is a very slow film. I really enjoyed that. Close Encounters. Huge build up to like the climax at the end, but very slow paced, very easy paced film as well. And yeah, probably I could name, I probably couldn't name half a dozen now because I've just put myself on the spot. But yeah, I really like slow build sci-fi films, and that's what I wanted from Midnight Special when we went and saw that.
Yeah,
and I didn't get it from that film. It was a lot of action in there. I mean, it, you know, not a huge amount going on necessarily, but it really went along at quite a pace. It wasn't a long film, and the climax was all very, you know, quick to happen. Arrival, you know, is slow paced. It is a slow film. And my colleague at work, my assistant actually, went to see it and was like, oh, shit. It was really shit. Nothing happened. It was really boring. Because he's young, basically. I loved it. I thought, you know, going into this, Amy Adams, Lois Lane, and Jeremy Renner, the Avenger without a superpower. I thought there's no way this is going to be an Oscar, you know, Oscar winning or Oscar nominated performance. But and perhaps the performances aren't Oscar performances, but the film, the script, the how it is all composed is amazing. There's not one singular like plot. There are like multiple plots, and you know, it really messes with your concept of time. It's completely non-linear. What you think you're seeing in the past is not the past, and the whole thing is like there's so many different plots intertwined, but they all sort of come together to make one story, and it's fantastic. And when you meet the aliens for the first time, it really evokes an emotion. Yeah, you know, like you're sort of you want to see, but you're also apprehensive. It builds anxiety. It's claustrophobic. It's got elements of horror without being a horror. It's got elements of sci-fi without being a sci-fi. It's like a thriller and a drama, and there's so much. It really is an all-encompassing film. It really includes so many elements and great performances, and it is kind of heartbreaking at times. It made my wife cry twice. and yeah, just a really, really, really fantastic film. Probably, and again, controversial show, probably the best sci-fi film in 10 years, I would say.
Wow.
Yeah. nothing but praise for it. I thought it was amazing. I really did.
Yeah, but Ninja Turtles.
Now, Ninja Turtles, on the other hand, 5.5 stars out of 5. Quite right. God damn it. I got really serious there, John. Okay. On the other hand, okay, my second recent release review, went to the cinema twice in 2 weeks. It was amazing. I'd already been, I got invited to the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. It was Fantastic Beasts Live, and it was a live event in London. And this is probably the biggest thing I've been invited to for the website. Proper.
I thought you were actually going to see the whole film in a preview.
I really thought that as well to start with, but then I watched the YouTube stinger that came with it, and that it explained that it wasn't that. But what it was incredible. For the first time, I was sat with proper journalists. There were people there from websites I'd heard about. The Flickering Myth were there. And we all sat in a nice bar around the corner before it happened, and we all had drinks on you know, the PR company. So free drinks. We all sat around talking, introduced ourselves, a bit of networking, talked about the films that were coming out this year, and you know, what we were looking forward to. Film festival was going on at the time, the BFI London Film Festival, and then we went into this Fantastic Beasts Live, and we didn't really know what to expect, any of us, I don't think. But what it was a live event being conducted in London, LA, New York, Mexico City, Sao Paulo, Rome, I don't know, loads of places around the world. And they were literally live streaming all of these things in one show that was hosted by London. And Eddie Redmayne, who plays Newt Scamander, the lead character, was there. In fact, all the lead characters were there, the main three characters. The director and the producer were there. And they did Q&A, they gave away stuff. We got to see some clips. They had some of the actors, whose name I forget, Colin Farrell, and I can't remember, there's another famous actor. They were in LA, they were talking via satellite link up, and there was questions being asked from all around the world for all of these people, actors and everything. And it's just like an amazing buzz going around. Like, it's like hundreds of people in there, mostly fans, and then a lot of press. And there's a huge buzz. And then J.K. Rowling came out, and they announced that there are actually going to be 5 films in the Fantastic Beasts series. So, again, the place exploded. The atmosphere was palpable. It was amazing. It was a really great event. And then they cut the live feed, finished that show, and then they showed us the first 10 minutes of the film early. And so, you're hyped up and caught up in the excitement. and watching the first 10 minutes, I thought, oh, this is fucking amazing. I never even liked Harry Potter. I can't sit through those films. They bore me to tears. But Fantastic Beasts looks amazing. And the difference is that Harry Potter is very much based around kids. You know, it's kids. It's a lovely story. I'm really glad that my kids are really into it. And they've watched them all and they love them. And they can tell you everything about them. And they're enthusiastic and they've read all the books. I love that element of it. But for me, Fantastic Beasts is more appealing because it has an adult lead. And Eddie Redmayne is just unbelievable in it. Really disarming. You know, he's got a really strange characteristic about him, which is endearing. He doesn't look at his co-actors. He doesn't look them in the eye. He always looks away from them. And that's something that is really noticeable when you watch the film. But alas, Fantastic Beasts does not fulfill its promise. It's just lacking a substance. It's lacking any kind of threat or any kind of peril. You never really feel the characters are in danger. You never feel things are not going to work out for them. And it is quite, you know, I said how Arrival is non-linear. It's completely all over the place in terms of timelines and expectation. Fantastic Beasts is point A to point B to point C, point D. Literally the first half, like hour long, is them finding beasts that have escaped. The second half is the actual plot. And it all feels like it's just setting up for the next film, which I think will be amazing. But J.K. Rowling actually wrote the screenplay for this. And she learned on the role, like on the job, basically. She'd never done it before. Not that kind of job, John. She's obviously a fantastic author, but she'd never written a screenplay before. And she said, you know, she wouldn't recommend it to anyone. So I think it suffered a little bit from not having an experienced screenwriter putting their input in there. It goes along. It's a fun film. It's a fun romp. Kids enjoyed it. You know, wife enjoyed it, but we both thought it could have been more. It could have been more exciting, more. It could have been more at stake than there actually is. But Fantastic Beasts is in cinemas now, and I'm sure it'll be a huge success. Though early box office indications suggest that it's not doing as well as they hoped. Yeah, interesting.
Maybe that number of films will get reduced from 5 down to 3 or something.
I don't think so. I think she's already got the story for it. And she's already richer than the Queen. That's an amazing fact. She has more money than the Queen of England. I don't know where she finds the inspiration to keep working, because quite frankly, I would be sitting on my ass getting fat.
Maybe it's the blank checks that Warner Brothers keep floating in front of her eyes. I mean, I'm quite cynical. So when this was announced, I just have a vision in my head of like Warner Brothers executives going, Harry Potter's making us so much money, we can't stop now. Yeah. We've got to keep this going somehow.
I know what you mean. I mean, it's clear it's not Harry Potter. There are sort of ties to or links or references even to Harry Potter, but they're very weak. And it's set 75 years in advance of the Harry Potter films. And basically in the Harry Potter films, they read a book called Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them by Newt Scamander. Mm-hmm. And this is the story of Newt Scamander and his Fantastic Beasts that end up in that book. And it looks lovely, you know, from Warner Brothers. There's always this thing with Warner Brothers that bugs me. Everything looks grainy. Nothing's clear. But I think that kind of makes the films look more cinematic. And it's part of why I've gone off Marvel films a little bit, which look like TV movies.
Yeah.
And I'm more, you know, interested in the DC style of things because it looks just more interesting. The tone and the colouring. I don't like the graining, but, you know, it does add something to it. So I guess, you know, that's what it is. There we go. Just to wrap up then, John, I think last thing on the show, have you got anything else you want to bring? Have you got news or anything? I didn't think so, but that's why I moved on.
Just where that come across.
No, I didn't know. I knew you hadn't prepared, so I didn't expect you to have like a list of news articles like you normally do. What I thought we'd do is just have a look at, not look at, but sort of talk about some of the trailers that have come out recently and what we think they might be. How good we think they might be.
I was just thinking maybe on the website or the podcast we could have a little counter running. How long now has the Crow reboot story been going?
That's a very good point. Yeah, and it's been the rights have been sold to another company, haven't they?
Yes, another company now has So is it a studio called Relativity?
Yeah.
Went bust, whatever. The Crow rights have been sold to three companies who are going to work together to work on The Crow Reborn, as it's currently called.
That bugs the shit out of me. The Crow Reborn. No. Just call it The Crow. It doesn't need to be reborn. We all know what's happening. It's just
I think it's been long enough from the originals that we can start this again without having to inform everyone we're starting again.
Just give it to Tim Burton. He can put Johnny Depp in the lead role. Helena Bonham Carter will be there in some capacity, and just get it out and done. You know, people will buy into it because it's him, and just get it done.
I did do a Google search for. I think you've taken the old version of the website offline, haven't you?
I have, yeah, for a reason.
I looked up, not interested in it.
don't care what the reason is.
What's the reason?
It's just fucking with our advertising stats. I couldn't, and our analytics. I was getting analytics from two sites, and it was all getting confusing. Okay. Sorry, carry on.
I used Google, and I had to use the Google cache to dig up the story. But I think it was, 2014 we reported the Crow reboot was coming?
Yeah.
So maybe you did that mock-up of someone as the Crow, didn't you?
Tom Hiddleston, or was it James McAvoy?
Might have been McAvoy. I think
it was McAvoy, actually, thinking back, yeah. Well, yeah, clearly that hasn't happened.
Anyway, trailers.
Yes. So there have been a number of trailers recently. I'm not going to go back too far. I'm not going to go back further than November, since we're in November. But Trainspotting, T2 Trainspotting, looks interesting.
It looks very good.
Another long break between the original and the sequel, much like this podcast.
Indeed, yes.
But unlike this podcast, I expect that one to be more violent. Especially with Begbie. Begbie scares the fuck out of me. If there's any character in a film scares the shit out of me, it's Begbie. I would hate to know Begbie. I never want to meet Begbie in my life. What a liability. So it looks very much like Renton is returning home, and where he'll hook up with Spud and Sick Boy and Begbie again. And who knows what's going to happen. But it seems like a different take. Maybe it's not going to be drugs, it's going to be something else this time. I don't know. We'll see. But that's Danny Boyle, isn't it? Danny
yes.
Boyle's directing, and yeah, he seems to do everything quite well. So it should be good. Wonder Woman. You're not sure? Okay. Right,
I'm just like female Captain America to me.
Do you know, I will not hear a bad word about Gal Gadot. Whatever her name is, I think I've said from day one, and I stand by it. And I think I'm starting to be vindicated now. She looks fantastic as Wonder Woman. She was probably the best thing about Batman v Superman, and I think I've high hopes for Wonder Woman. I think it's going to be a good film. I'm excited by the trailers, and not just because I quite love Gal Gadot. Whatever,
I'll see it by all means. I'm not gonna write it off based on some trailers.
I'm glad to hear that from a movie critic.
I can't recall you know, seeing a trailer and thinking, oh fuck that. I do give my, you know, give nearly everything a chance.
Do you care more about the Lego Batman movie? That's the question. And I think I know the answer.
That does look very funny.
It does look good. They missed a trick with the trailer, though, where he's throwing the things at the end, and he didn't say first try. And even my kids were waiting for it. They were like, he should have said, why didn't he say? I know. I don't know why. Probably because we're all expecting it. Looking forward to that, obviously. And Ghost in the Shell has mixed reviews. People are very anti Scarlett Johansson, as she pronounces it. I saw her pronounce that the other day.
All right.
Johansson, not Johansson, as I would say. People are anti her because she's not Asian, and it should be an Asian character. How do you feel about that, John? Be honest.
I don't know. Made any decision yet. I mean, I know everyone's sort of like, oh my God, it's an Asian film being whitewashed.
Yeah.
But I do, because this film's coming out, I do plan on watching the original anime now. Okay. See what it's all about.
Good stuff.
But I know someone's already created a trailer that compares the live action shots to the same shots in the anime version. Apparently they're quite close.
Okay. Well, yeah, it seems like they're being faithful to the original apart from with the casting.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really have a strong opinion about it because I don't feel strongly about anime in any way. I'm not a fan. Not that I dislike it, I just never got into it. But yeah, I don't know. I'll give it a watch, I think, but I don't really have high hopes for the film either, in terms of my enjoyment, but I may be wrong. I will give it a watch though. Underworld, Blood Wars. I think you've seen some of the Underworld films, haven't you?
Yes, is this, I can't remember now, is this the fourth or fifth one?
It's the fifth, actually, yeah.
It's the fifth.
Yeah.
I've definitely seen one and two. Maybe I've seen three, I'm not sure.
I haven't seen any of them. And again, I don't know why I haven't seen any of them. It's not that I am opposed to watching them. I just never got round to watching them.
First one does feel a bit sort of, you know, vampires, werewolves with a touch of Matrix in there, like the visual style of the film.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the first one, and I got the first two at home on Blu-ray, so I must have enjoyed the second one as well.
Well, just because you own a film doesn't mean you watch it, does it, John?
Well, that's why you buy it in the first place, isn't it?
Well, I thought you didn't. We've had this conversation. Yeah, I've got it on Blu-ray, but I haven't watched it yet. Have you watched Jurassic Park yet?
Well, like, would you mean the copy I own, or just generally?
Yeah, the copy you own.
No,
there we go. You've had that for years. No, I know you've had it for years because we mentioned it in the last show.
As I may have stated before, just because Close Encounters of the Third Kind was the very first Blu-ray I brought, I still haven't watched it.
I haven't watched it. Fucking hell. I've been considering buying that lately after watching Arrival. It made me want to watch Close Encounters again.
It might be just my stance on... While I enjoy these streaming services, I don't like the idea that someone else can control what's available.
I know what you mean.
Recently, I was having a go at... I sort of got in contact with Sky about something completely irrelevant, but finding out how to contact them on Twitter, I found all these complaints, and loads of people were moaning that The Walking Dead had been taken off Sky's streaming service.
Oh, right.
People are like, I was halfway through season. And, you know, this guy just kept chucking out the same answer, which is basically, sorry, our license expired and it won't be back till January.
Right.
And that's the kind of example. So that's why I don't like the idea someone else is in control. I like physical media all the way in my own hands.
The Walking Dead is available on Amazon Prime at all times. For your information. Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, we have effectively three subscription services that we can choose from and often struggle to find anything worth watching. I mean, there's stuff I would watch, but stuff that we would watch together is harder. It's a harder, you know, task. Yeah. So, I mean, we have Netflix, we have Amazon, and we have BT. Part of our package, you've got the BT films to rent or to buy, which includes is like Curzon Cinema, where you get to watch a lot of stuff that's in the cinema, actually. Like lower, yeah, not lower budget, but more indie
smaller releases.
Exactly, yeah. Things that are not on mass release, you can watch generally. So things like Emporium, literally came out, I think, this month or late last month, starring Daniel Radcliffe. Like it was available to watch the day it was in the cinema. We've got all these things that we can watch, but finding something is a real struggle.
I mean, I read with Netflix, there's a bit kind of swings and roundabout. Netflix apparently now has about 50% less content than when it did when it started. But the cause of that is that they're not spending money on licensing films from studios. They're now spending that money on creating their own original content.
Netflix is great for TV, not so good for films, in my opinion. And the films that are on there that I would watch are films I've already seen. So, that... Amazon is better for films and has the occasional good original content. But we use it more for renting than actually watching stuff as part of the service. And then exactly the same with BT. You know, you don't really get much included with that package, but it's the latest releases available to rent or to buy even.
Yeah.
Things like Ghostbusters are available now, and I can't think there's one other recent film that we'd like to watch, but it's only available to buy. But I, all these services, it's very difficult to find. I even know how we got onto this subject, but anyway, that's the state of TV in the UK right now. Back to the trailers.
Yes.
Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets.
That looks really good. That looks like the Fifth Element times 10 or so. It looks mental.
It does look bizarre, doesn't it? But it's Luc Besson, as we know, is a strange sort of vision when it comes to his films. It's based on a comic book, and I can't remember what the comic book's called. It's like Valerian and something else. The other character whose name they've sort of scrubbed out of the film title was like, no, just Valerian in this one.
No, it's him.
But yeah, it does look interesting. A lot of hype when the trailer dropped about that. It looks crazy. It's got Rihanna in it for some reason. I don't know. Shine bright like a diamond. That's my Rihanna impression.
Brilliant.
I know. Who says I'm not up with modern pop culture? there's that, which looks exciting. I guess just a last couple of things. We've got Kong Skull Island, which I wish they'd just called Skull Island. I don't think they needed to put Kong in it, but anyway, that's my opinion.
Yeah, what do you think of it, though, apart from the title?
Do you know what? A guilty pleasure. I actually enjoyed the last King Kong film that had Jack Black in it. I went to see that at the cinema and actually quite enjoyed it. I don't know. It looks all right. I mean, I like the
70s Vietnam vibe it's got to it.
Yeah, I watched it and I did think Apocalypse Now when the helicopters are against the sunrise. I don't know. I'm not sure what to make of it. I mean, I was really quite excited for Godzilla and I enjoyed that. It's a vehicle for bringing King Kong into the cinematic world and then they're going to fight the two together. We all know where it's leading. So I don't know. I hope it's well executed. I'm not sure. I really don't know about this one. I'm undecided.
I just wonder if they should have kept the other creatures under wraps until, kept that as a secret for the film.
Yeah, maybe. We all knew what it was about when it was just called Skull Island.
Yeah.
And I think they're just appealing to a wider audience by putting the Kong in there. But I don't know. We'll see. You posted an interesting trailer that I haven't actually watched yet, but my Russian's not very good, but it translates to attraction.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that, because I have no idea.
Is
it sci-fi? Is it what? I don't know. It looks like an alien thing from the picture.
Yes, it is. It's an alien craft crash lands in a Russian city.
Hmm.
And almost directly quoting from the synopsis, because I can't find out much about it. Apparently, those who see the aliens and see what's inside the craft start to question their own existence.
Oh, wow.
I did turn on the auto-generated English subtitles by Google, but that didn't help at all.
But you know, it might turn out to be like Night Watch. Night Watch was an amazing Russian film.
Yeah.
Could be like that. I mean, they do make some decent films. It's just like they're not accessible because they're not in English.
No, I mean, as I mentioned in the article attached to that, that sort of Russian X-Men type film, The Guardians.
Yeah.
I really want to see that as well. But yeah. It's just these kind of films don't normally get a big wide release. You end up having to sort of import a copy from somewhere else.
Indeed. Or download it.
I didn't say that.
And lastly, let's finish on this weird thing that arrived online. Cars 3, the trailer or teaser. What the fucking F is going on in that?
I don't know. My missus won't even show the kids.
It's horrible and bleak.
I know. I mean, I was just thinking, when I wrote that piece up, I was thinking of the original Cars, and it's such a bright film.
Yeah.
It's bright, it's colourful, it's happy. And you watch that Cars 3 teaser, and you can tell, in terms of animation, it looks more realistic, but the colours are muted, it looks kind of gritty and a bit grim, and apart from NASCAR's racing around the track, the only other shot is, was it McQueen with one of his wheels gone, tumbling through the air?
Yeah.
Was the text say something like it's all going to change from this point on?
Yeah, something along those lines.
And that's it. And you're like, oh my god, what's going on?
I mean, it's it's like this is the end of his career. He's never going to be the same after this. So he's just going to be a bitter old car that hates people. You know, he'll get divorced from his wife. He'll hate his kids. They'll never see him again. And he'll die alone. I think that's the way it's going. I don't know. I think it's a misleading thing. It's clearly some sort of flashback. It is clever, and it's making people talk about it. But yeah, God, the trailer is bleak as fuck. Oh yeah, I watched it just today. I don't know. I don't like it.
I think if my kids saw that, they'd be like, "What's wrong with lightning? What's wrong with lightning?" And you'd be like, "I don't know. I can't help."
I mean, luckily, my kids, you know, being girls, are not so into cars and stuff. So yeah, they're probably not interested in it anyway. But yeah, I know what you mean. Anyway, okay, well, do you know what, that was pretty painless. We've made it to the end of another show, and we should say actually that there is a missing show.
There's the mythical missing show
that we will release in 10 years time when we've got the digital technology to clean up the fucking awful audio quality. Because basically, John was podcasting through a tin can and a piece of string.
And, that's what it sounded like.
And it was painful. We kept losing the connection. And
the hotel Wi-Fi was playing up, so I tried using a mobile data dongle, and that didn't work very well either.
Yes, yeah, so semaphore and smoke signals, that didn't really work very well because, you know, visual.
I think at the end I just imagined your responses and questions, wrote them down on a piece of paper and sent them to you in the post.
I should have dubbed everything you said in my accent, in my voice. Maybe that's what I'll do. So there is a hidden podcast. We had intended to do another one. I think we were both so distraught by that experience that we had to take a break. and of course holidays got in the way, and you know, kids, summer holidays, extended breaks. John takes about 10 weeks off over summer. Your holidays are crazy over summer, aren't they? Because you got that five week thing.
Yeah, I had 5 weeks off.
That's crazy. But you know, I know you work funny shift patterns, so it all works out. But
yeah,
so we made it. Looks like we made it. Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo! That's the end of another podcast. So thanks if you've got this far for listening. If you do watch the Cars 3 teaser, the Samaritan's number is 0800. Don't be alone. Just yeah, make sure somebody knows where you are when you watch that. If you survive, we'll see you on the next show. So that's it. Thanks for listening to Betamax and Laserdisc, the movie and TV podcast from theunheardnerd.com. My name has been Will. It will remain to be Will after this show, as will John's. Thank you very much, John.
Thank you. Bye-bye, everyone.
Woo-hoo. Theunheardnerd.com.